The story of the feeding of the 5,000 this morning. It's good to see Stephen and Sarah Steele over from the Stockholm Church with us this morning as well. Go ahead and stand. It's good to have you back in the East where you really ought to return someday soon. The feeding of the 5,000, it's the only miracle in the Bible that appears in all four Gospels. And as we look through the various accounts, you'll see different things we can learn from each of the accounts. This is in Luke chapter 9. Let's pick up here in verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. In every account, you see some things that appear in one gospel account that don't appear in another. But in every account, you see that 12 basketfuls of leftovers were collected by the disciples. In fact, in John chapter 6, it adds, Jesus says, "Let nothing be wasted." And so he sent the disciples out to go ahead and pick up those 12 basketfuls of leftovers. This isn't anything to do with the point of the miracle, but I just wanted to say, picking up behind you is always a good thing to do. And especially for teenagers, you know, it's important to learn this lesson early. You know, we saw that video clip which they did for the women. That was fantastic. And the woman's working hard and she has to be perfect. And her whole day is one thing after another. At any end, she needed a bit of a break, a retreat. Well, actually, that's what actually happened here, by the way, is that Jesus and his disciples were working so hard that he then took them away for a retreat to be by themselves. But the crowds followed. But nonetheless, even after they fed them, he made them pick up the leftovers and clear up behind themselves. It's a good lesson. I want to just show you this video clip which I think some of the men could benefit from learning from. All right.
I've been at work too, you know, and what, now I get to come home and
make dinner. I can remember.
What? I just wish you'd take some initiative and cook your own dinner. I've been at work too, you know. I get to come home and pack the dishwasher and then unpack the dishwasher and cook dinner and put the washing on. And you know what? I can't continue to live like this because it's not me.
Hey, relax. It's gonna be all right.
How?
Here, I'll just show you.
Okay, I've been doing this since you moved in.
See this basket thing? I don't know how it happens, if it's the house or what, but any dirty clothes you put in this basket, somehow, the next day,
they're just clean, folded, and in a perfect pile on your bed.
You're not serious.
I couldn't believe it at first either, but it just keeps happening.
That's why I didn't tell you. I didn't want to jinx it.
You are insane.
Try it, you'll see.
Unless it's only chosen me. See, I don't know.
I can't do this.
No, wait. There's other things too.
Plates, cutlery, pizza boxes, dirty tissues, anything you leave on this coffee table just vanishes overnight. I mean, sometimes I'll see how far I can push this thing, and then sure enough, the next day, it's all gone. It's just vanished. It's magic. No, she wouldn't have left me. This is what I think happened. I heard her get up in the middle of the night to get a drink or something. She must have fallen onto the magic coffee table and just vanished.
Are you insane?
No, he's not insane. I've got the same coffee table at home.
Anyway, this is the account in Matthew chapter 14. And by the way, did any of you ever hear this story of the feeding of the 5,000 when you were kids growing up? When I was at school growing up, Sunday school growing up, I'd heard this story. And one of the things I'd heard was that, you know, there was this little boy. The little boy is only mentioned in John's gospel. And the little boy came with his 5 loaves and his 2 fish, and Jesus was able to do this miracle. But the real miracle was this boy came, he shared his food, and so all the crowd who were there, they were convicted by the little boy's example, so they all began to share their food as well, and then there was enough for everyone to be fed. Had anyone ever heard that before? Oh, maybe it's just me then, all right. But I thought it was my Sunday school teacher trying to pull a fast one and getting me to share my packed lunch. That's what I thought it was going on. But nonetheless, in Mark chapter 6, and what we see here, the account here, in Matthew 14, we won't read it all, but one of the things you'll see is right before this, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, hearing of this crowd, followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus heard what? Well, right before this, we see the account of John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. And we talked about that the last time we preached on Luke 9. And his cousin had just been killed. And now we see Jesus hears the news. And so he decides to get away with his disciples to a solitary place where they can get some time alone by themselves. But notice there in verse 14, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and heal their sick. You know, despite the fact that Jesus had just lost his cousin, despite the fact that he had been busy serving and giving, and his apostles had been serving and giving, and now they wanted to get some time away by themselves, when he saw the crowds, the Bible says his heart went out to them. He had compassion on them, and so he began to teach them many things, and he began to heal the sick, and he did that for the rest of the entire day, and it was only as evening approached that his disciples said, look, it's time to send these people away because this is a remote town. And Matthew kind of emphasizes the vast numbers of people who were there. In fact, if you skip down there to to verse 20, it says they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Typically, when Jews counted crowds and counted the congregation and the people, usually they numbered the men. But in addition to the 5,000 men, there were also the women and children. And so this crowd, if you imagine, there's probably any religious gathering is usually more women than men. And if you imagine that each woman had, I don't know, maybe a child with them, or one child on average maybe, this crowd would have been somewhere in excess of 10,000 to 15,000 people. And Jesus did this amazing miracle, and he fed them all using just those 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, this Wednesday gone, we had a small crowd of people around at our house. It was our son's 16th birthday party. And so I was in charge of cooking the sausages on the barbecue. And, you know, it took a lot of effort, trust me. And those sausages, they tasted good. And there were leftovers afterwards, and that's always a good thing, that there's leftovers afterwards. But that was an effort. Imagine trying to feed 10,000 plus people. You know, those disciples, Jesus made them work. And they had their work cut out for them. You know, look over in Mark chapter 6. In Mark 6, and we see here, the apostles in verse 30 had gathered around Jesus, reported to him all they'd done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them, ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things, and the rest of the story goes on. But notice this, that the apostles themselves, they've been out there teaching, preaching, just as Jesus had. And they've come back, they report everything, but they've been so busy that they've not even had time to eat themselves. They've been so rushed off their feet, they've not even been able to take care of their own needs. Now, honestly, if you were in Jesus' situation, or if you were part of his little group there, and it's so busy, and Jesus recognizes it's so busy, and plus then there's all the emotional challenges, he's just heard his cousin's died, and so he says, okay, we need a retreat. And sometimes we do need a retreat. And so he says, okay, so let's go to a solitary place where by ourselves we can get some rest and we can recuperate. And as you travel by boat across the lake, and then you get to the other side, and then you see the crowds who'd seen you get into the boat, and they'd run round on foot to get to the other side, and they're all there waiting for you. If you were in Jesus' group at that point, how would you be feeling? You're looking forward to your retreat. You've not had anything to eat yet. You're hungry. You're tired. You've been working hard. And now there's this crowd. Oh, my goodness. What would you be thinking? I'd be thinking, why? But Jesus, he says he sees them and he has compassion on them. And so he starts teaching them and ministering to them and healing them. And then at the end of the day, the disciples come and say, Jesus, it's, it's been a long day. We're in a remote place. These guys, we need to send them away so they can find somewhere to buy, to do their shopping and get something to eat. And, you know, and I wonder how pure their motivation really was. Well, these people must be starving, Jesus. I think it's time to send them home, don't you think? I mean, you know, they've been here a long time. I think they're hungry and there's nowhere around here to shop. You know, there's time to send them off. Maybe they're thinking it is about time for these guys to leave. You know, it's like when you have those guests come around to your house late at night. I heard of one guy, I was reading this book in the charity shop about senior moments. And it was recording these famous people and their different senior moments. And it was talking about one guy. He said, you know, he had a friend come around late at night and he came around to his house and so he gave him some tea and coffee and biscuits and they were chatting. And then he kept looking at his watch, and it was getting later and later. And then by the time it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, he started to, is that the time? Wow. Well, I think, we probably should call it a night. And his friend wasn't getting the hint. In the end, he said, look, I don't want to be rude, but, I've actually got an early morning appointment. And so I think we should call it a day. And maybe you should start making your way home now. And his friend looked at him and says, making my way home? Oh my goodness, I thought this was my house. So I was waiting for you to leave. One of those senior moments. But they're there, the crowds are there, and they're thinking it's time for these guys to go. And yet Jesus then, instead of sending them home, he says, you give them something to eat. And in the different versions, here he says, you give them something to eat. They answered and they said, that'd take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it them to eat? They've just said that there's no shops nearby. But now they're saying, well, what, are we going to spend this much money? And Jesus asked, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. You know, Jesus asked them a question. My question is this. Was Jesus really concerned just about feeding the crowd? Was that what he was doing? This becomes clearer in John's account. Because if you look in John's account here, we'll skip through all this as all the crowds are there. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd come towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. See, up until this point, the disciples, they've been with Jesus, they've seen him teach, they've seen him preach, they've seen him heal the sick, they've seen him minister to the needs of the crowd. Then, he himself, back in Luke 9, he sent them out to do exactly the same thing. He said, don't take any stuff with you, God will provide it all. And so they've done that, they've gone out, they've preached, they've taught, and God's provided for their upkeep as well. Then they've come back and they've reported it all to him. And so they've seen and they've learned. They've been with him for a number of months at this point. And now he's testing them. Now it's a test to see how much have they really absorbed. Because they've seen his actions and they've seen his heart. But have they really absorbed it? And so he asks them, he says, okay, so... He says, where shall we buy bread? And he was only testing Philip. And Philip's response in verse 7 was, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? The different responses. The first response was, it's going to take half a year's wages. Even just for the crowd, for each person just to get a single bite. Was that the right answer Jesus was looking for? Andrew comes up and he says, well, we've got, you know, we've got 5 loaves, small barley loaves and 2 fish. But how far will that get? Was that the answer Jesus was looking for? I was reading about this school teacher. She'd been studying idioms and proverbs with her class for a number of weeks. And then She threw a surprise test as to see how much they'd absorbed. And some basic things, in fact, I'll share this with you and see how well we do. These various proverbs, these are the quiz. This was on the quiz. She wrote the first half, and then the second half was blank, and the students had to fill in the second half. So the first half was this. It's always darkest before the dawn. One of her kids wrote, it's always darkest before daylight saving time. Another proverb, don't bite the hand that feeds you. One of the kids wrote, don't bite the hand that looks dirty. If you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. One kid wrote, if you lie down with dogs, you'll stink in the morning. What about this? An idle mind is the devil's playground. Some kid wrote, an idle mind is the best way to relax. A penny saved is a penny earned, yes. One kid wrote, a penny saved is not much. 2's company, 3's a crowd. Someone wrote, 2's company, 3's the musketeers. What about this one? Children should be seen and not... Yes, it's a good one. Use it every day. But one kid wrote, children should be seen and not spanked. You know, this teacher had spent a good number of periods teaching her children some of these basic proverbs, and they still didn't get the right answers. Jesus has been with his disciples all this time, and they still couldn't quite figure out what is he looking for here? What are we meant to say? What's the right answer in all of this? You know, as you go through this, you'll see that Jesus' heart is clear. His focus, by the way, wasn't just about, let me give everyone a nice meal. That wasn't the focus. Because the reality is, if he'd sent them away, that would have accomplished that. You know, they'd have gone home, eaten, and everything else. No, I think his focus was he really wanted to use this to teach his disciples a lesson. And I think there's a number of lessons, because as you read through the accounts in Matthew 14, afterwards, when they've dismissed the crowd, then there's a storm, and he's walking on the water, and the disciples are in panic, and he asks them, do you still have so little faith? And in the boat with them, they've got the 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And Jesus reminds them, don't you remember what happened when where is your faith? I think he wanted to teach them a number of lessons, one being... to have faith. Another being to have the heart to give. You know, it's interesting because when we are tired or hungry, I know that's especially that applies to me, we can tend to be a little bit less giving, right? And yet Jesus is he's tired. He's as hungry as the next person. He's just lost his cousin. And yet he is giving and giving and giving. And you know, God wants us to learn this lesson about really having the right focus on meeting needs and being given to others. Sometimes we say, you know, when my needs are met, then I can be more giving. But oftentimes it's actually the opposite. You know, there's a verse which Julie likes to quote in Proverbs 11:25, where he says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Oftentimes, instead of, "Oh, when I'm happy, then I can help make other people happy," oftentimes it's when we make other people happy, we ourselves become happy. In fact, actually, the more you help and give to others, the more encouraged you yourself will feel. There's something about just when we have an outward focus. There's something about when we are focused more on the needs of others than even on our own needs, the impact it has on our own lives and on our own heart. And Jesus' heart was always one to be given. And he wanted his apostles to learn that lesson. He also wanted them to learn the lesson of faith, to recognize that God is able to do amazing things. I mean, he'd give back in Luke chapter 9. In fact, let's flip back there. It's Luke chapter 9. And let's back up to the passage we'd read earlier in this series. In Luke 9 verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And then they've come back and they've told him all the good news about what's going on. You know, he had already given them power to perform miracles. And they'd actually been doing those miracles. And God had been using them in a great way, to the point where they came back. And, you know, later on in Luke chapter 10, after he sent out the apostles as well as the rest of the disciples, 72, and they all come back and they're talking about just the incredible display of God's power. But they hadn't quite really got the lesson that God is sovereign. God is able to do incredible things. And they'd already seen the power of God at work in their own lives. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my mother, she had this outward focus in our neighborhood, where she would care for the people who were elderly on our street. And oftentimes at Christmas, she would go around checking on all the neighbors. And if any of the neighbors didn't have anywhere to go for Christmas lunch, she'd bring them back to our house to have lunch with us. And growing up as a kid, sometimes my brothers and I, we sometimes asked ourselves, wow, when are we ever going to have a chance to have Christmas dinner just the family? Because we had Jack from down the road. We had Maggie from across the street. We had other people coming to the house. And it wasn't like we had a lot of things ourselves. It wasn't like that we were so flushed with extra money and food that we just had to give it away. And yet, we never went without. God always provides. God always provides. You know, we had, just this week, we had the wedding of Mike and Jolla. And on Thursday, and that was a great time together. It was encouraging. The week before, Shakira and I were actually on the way up to Mike and Jolla's wedding rehearsal. And on the way up there, as we were driving along, we heard a bang, and then the car started to swerve. And fortunately, Shakira, who was in control, and I was there working my wedding rehearsal plan and everything. She's pulled over to the edge, and her front tire had blown out. And we had two of Michael's cousins in the car with us as well. Actually, Jolly's cousins in the car with us. And so we were on time to arrive for the wedding rehearsal. But now with this delay, it was unfortunate. We thought, okay, what are we going to do? So the first thing we did, let's call up and see if there's anyone nearby who can give us a lift up there. And so Shakira made some phone calls. And as she made some phone calls, it turns out that everyone has already arrived, and they're waiting for us to arrive. And And so then we began to look. I went to the boot, took out the spare tyre, and I started to change the tyre. And the girls were there. It was myself, Shakira, and Toyisi and Ibs were there. And they all looked at me and said, "Can you do this?" I said, yes, I can do this. I've done this a number of times. And now that I've said it, now I felt like, oh, no, pressure. What I should have said was, maybe, maybe not. Let's wait and see. But anyway, I've changed spare tyres a number of times. And so, you know, I got out the jack, just levered up the car up just a little bit until the tyre was still resting on the ground so I could just, loosen the nuts. And I got out the tyre wrench and started to undo it. And as I was trying to undo it, the wrench kept slipping. And I thought, hold on a second, what's going on? And I did this a number of times. It kept slipping and slipping. I was holding it on there, changing the grip, and I managed to get one off and then another. But then it just would, the other third and the fourth, they just would not come off. And then I looked at the wrench, and the wrench was deformed. It was. And we thought, oh no, we're going to be late for the thing. And I looked at Shakira, I said, Shakira, your wrench is deformed. And she said, is it? It is. I said, there's no, I can't use this. We need so then I started trying to flag down another car so we can borrow their wrench so I can just change a tyre. But no one was stopping. And time was moving on, and I thought, oh, you know what? I said, okay, and this is what I should have done from the start. Let's pray. And so we prayed. And honestly, within 2 minutes of praying, an AA van pulled up right beside. We hadn't called the AA. It just saw us by the side of the road, and it pulled over, said, need a hand? I said, yeah. I said, we're trying to change this tyre, but the tyre wrench is deformed. He said, is it? He said, let me have a go. He took the tyre, and it was deformed. He couldn't use it, so he got one from his own van, and he quickly changed the tyre for us, and he put the spare on. It turns out the spare was flat. But the good thing is he's an AA van, so he's got his compressor in there. He pumped it up for us, sent us on our way, and all was good. And we arrived on time. How awesome is that? That was the Lord. The Lord provided. You know what? Here's the thing. God has a way of meeting our needs. And especially when we are focused on others, God has a way of just coming through. You know, in Genesis 22, one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament, when Abraham takes Isaac up the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. That God has a way of providing for our needs and meeting our needs. If you were this little boy, and you've heard, okay, disciples are talking to Jesus, says, you give them something to eat, and they're like, we haven't got anything. And you know you've got your packed lunch. You've got your tuna sandwiches. And you're thinking to yourself, I could share this. But then you're thinking, if I share this, how far is it going to go? It's probably just enough for me, let alone for 10,000 people. That's not going to go anywhere. But his heart was, let me give. Let me give. You know, the disciples had been with Jesus for a number of months, but they hadn't quite learned the lesson. Jesus wanted them to grasp, to get this, get it, just about having the right heart. In fact, let me show you another video clip right here. My daughter told me, Hannah said she'd seen this on Facebook. I'm going to share this with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do, dude. Like, I don't get my money till next week. And I'm, like, over here, like, stressing the heck out. Like, I don't know what to do anymore, dude. Like, completely lost. I have no money on me right now. She's really sick and she really needs the medicine. That's the thing. It's like, seriously sucks living paycheck to paycheck when you don't have enough money for your daughter's medicine and you can't really do anything. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm so lost right now, dude. Just let me know if you can, you know, help out with any money, dude, because I really need to get my daughter medicine, dude. But yeah, I'll hit you up later, man. All right. All right, peace, man. Peace.
Oh, my God. What do I do?
You all right, dude?
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, I need to get my daughter medicine, and it's like, I don't know what to do, man. Like, I don't have the money.
Hey, I'm stuck, right?
Yeah, I know. It sucks so badly. You know, it's like, she depends on me, you know, to get the medicine, too, and it's like, I don't know what to do, you know? Right. I can't get her medicine, you know? It's so bad.
You be here a minute?
Huh?
You be here a minute?
Yeah, I'm over here the whole time.
What's my backpack for me?
Yeah, I got you.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Hey, sir, what's up?
How you feeling?
Huh?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, and I have your backpack. I'm still trying to figure it out and everything, you know what I mean?
I managed to drop a little bug yourself.
Oh. What happened to your bags?
I just took it back to where I got it. It's part of it over there.
Uh-huh.
I had a few things that...
Oh, did you get something from Target?
Yeah.
What happened?
Blankets and a pillow.
Blankets and pillow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can get by without, but he seemed to be a little more trouble than I was, so there.
So you return...
Yeah. You take care of your daughter. Right?
You return your pillows, your sleeping bags, just give me, my daughter, my medicine?
Yeah.
Why would you do that, though? You didn't have to do that.
I look pretty stressed out, you know? I can remember plenty of times.
Right? Don't you need that stuff, though?
I get by without it. I'd be okay. Yeah.
But don't you need this money? You get something to eat.
I'll get something. We'll come up.
How long has it been since you ate, though?
Yesterday.
Yeah. You haven't ate since yesterday and you're just trying to give me money?
Yeah.
That really means a lot to me, like something, like you would do that, you know what I mean? Like, you seem like you really need the money too, you know?
Yeah.
Where do you sleep at night?
Here, there, anywhere, right to the gate.
So, like, that's incredibly inspiring. Yeah. Like, how you would do that. Here's another $500, man.
You're kidding me.
No, man. Give me a hug, man.
Oh, my God.
Give me a hug, man.
Thanks a lot, man.
That, you know, like, what you did, that really... No, don't cry. Please don't cry. What you did, that was really inspiring, man. No, don't cry.
This was a social experiment that was conducted where this guy was giving money to homeless secretly. And then videoing them to see what they would do with it. And with this individual, they followed it. Obviously, you can see it's highly edited. But they followed him. He'd bought some stuff from Target, the grocery or supermarket, and blankets and pillows. But when he heard that this man's daughter needed medicine, he went and took it all back, got the money back, and gave it to this guy. And the fella who was running the experiment was so moved, he ended up not only giving him back the money, but also giving him an extra $500 as well. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, his heart was filled with compassion. He went out to the crowd. But it wasn't just about the food. It was about helping these people come to know the truth. You know, later on in the Gospel of John, you see how they're following him around for food. And he says, don't follow after food that perishes. But rather, you've got to pursue the food that will last until eternal life. And he's talking about the bread that comes down from heaven. He says, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And he's trying to help them get right with God. He's the bread that came down from heaven, the bread that was broken so that our sins could be forgiven. But the focus wasn't about, here, have a free lunch. The focus was about helping them come to know God. That's ultimately what it boiled down to. And on top of that, his disciples, he wanted them to get his heart. And more than that, he wanted them to grow in their faith. You know, this morning, my question for all of us is, where is our heart? how do we feel about the tens of thousands of people that we walk past every week, every month, and their desperate need for God? What is our focus? What are we focused on? Are we more focused on meeting our own needs first, or we focus on the spiritual needs of others? And finally, how is our faith? You know, God is able to do amazing things with just a small amount. The little boy gave what he had and God multiplied it. We give what we have and God is able to use it to impact and affect the lives of countless numbers. Let's have the right focus, let's have the right heart, but above all, let's grow in our faith. Amen.
Well, I'd like to thank Mike for that really interesting sermon this morning. And it made me think, just when the disciples at the beginning, they were tired and they were hungry, and that really affected their kind of compassion on other people. And it reminded me about myself, that I can cope with being tired, I'm okay, or I can cope with being hungry and I'm okay, but being tired and hungry, then that the world changes kind of at that point. So it was a really good reminder for me about just thinking about myself and my own weaknesses, and just really just having the character of Jesus really kind of illustrated, and just Jesus' incredible heart, that no matter what the circumstances, he had a heart of compassion and of giving. And I find that particularly challenging, but very, very inspiring. And I really pray that all of us can really look at the character of Jesus today and be honest about where ourselves are at. And for those of us who are really striving to live lives as disciples of Jesus, we have to just be like Jesus. And let's really make some decisions today, as Mike really called us to say wherever we are, we're gonna be more like Jesus because of what we've heard today. So thank you very much, Mike. Let's give Mike a round of applause. In a moment, we're going to have our final song. Just a reminder that we do have teas and coffees and refreshments at the end to enjoy some fellowship. And also, we'll meet back in the main hall of the school on Friday when all of us will be back together again. So let's all stand and we'll have a final song together.